Welcome to Tardi Melcha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenhoft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei Yamim Bet, Perek Lamed He. Perek 35 continues with Yoshiyahu's reign. The chapter begins by informing us that the holiday of Pesach was being celebrated. Vayas Yoshiyahu b'Yerushalayim Pesach l'Hashem, v'yishchatu ha-Pesach b'arba'asar l'chodesh ha-rishon. Yoshiyahu kept the Passover dedicated to Hashem in Jerusalem. They slaughtered the Pesach lamb on the 14th day of the first month. Our verse is emphasizing Yoshiyahu's role in the celebration, which is different than the way it was written in Kings 2. Vayitzav ha-melech ha-kol ha-am le-mor, asu Pesach l'Hashem el-kechem, kakatuv al-sefer ha-brit hazeh. The king commanded all the people, offer the Passover sacrifice to Hashem, as prescribed in the scroll of the covenant. The stress there is on the people. They are the ones to bring the Pesach offerings. And from the standpoint of halacha, the king has no official standing in the celebration. But our Sefer is emphasizing Yoshiyahu as the initiator of an opportunity to set the people upon the path that he had been destined to lead them. Then in verse 3, Yoshiyahu does something momentous. Vayomer lelevim hamivinim l'chol Yisrael k'doshim l'Hashem. Tenu et Aron HaKodesh b'bayit asher bana Shlomo ben David melech Yisrael. Ein lachem masa b'katef. Ata yivdu et Hashem okechem v'et amo Yisrael. He said to the Levites, educators for all Israel, hallowed to Hashem, place the Holy Ark in the vault, which Shlomo, son of David, king of Israel, built. No longer will you carry upon your shoulders. Now serve Hashem your God and his people Israel. The rabbis in the Talmud and Yoma help explain what is going on in this pasuk. Ma ra'ash ganazo? Ra'ash katuv yolech Hashem otcha v'et malkacha asher tzakim alecha, aman ugnazo. Yoshiyahu, the king of Yehuda, buried it. And what did he see that he decided to bury it? He saw that it is written, the Lord will bring you and your king whom you shall set over you to a nation that you have not known. Since he knew that the Jewish people would ultimately be exiled, he felt it was better that the ark should not be disgraced in exile, and therefore he arose and buried it. Yoshiyahu ordered that the ark be removed from the Kodesh Kedoshim Holy of Holies and hidden in an underground chamber, which Shlomo built in anticipation that one day it might be necessary to save the Aron from impending destruction. Once the Levim have carried the Aron on their shoulders to its place of hiding, they will no longer have any duties of carrying the ark. The removal of the Aron was no small matter. We learned in chapter 6 that it served as the focus for all of Israel's prayers. Removing it was breaking a special link between Hashem and his people. It may be marking the moment when Hester Panim, the hiding of Hashem's face, was beginning, the most tragic aspect of our experience in exile. Yoshiyahu was preparing the people for a new phase of their relationship with Hashem. A bitter exile stretched before them, and they needed to be prepared for fundamental changes. They would have to learn how to survive spiritually without the Aron HaKodesh, the Holy Ark. This theme of preparation can be seen from a milah mancha in our chapter. Let me explain. Martin Buber and Franz Rosenzweig developed a method of biblical analysis known as the Leitwort, meaning a leading word. It's a literary technique that often features a word or phrase or root that recurs throughout a passage. By tracing these repetitions, one can uncover the meaning and tone of the text. The recurring word serves as a key to the passage. Identifying such a pattern within a parsha can point us toward its central emphasis and underlying message. The way the story goes, Martin Buber and Franz Rosenzweig translated the Bible into German and believed in maintaining the exact same word in German whenever it appeared in Hebrew, even if it sounded awkward or repetitive in German. When they submitted their draft, they weren't dealing with a typical editor, but rather one that was under the pressure of producing a literary German masterpiece. Editors of that time were trained to make the text flow and remove boring repetitions. They went through the manuscript and improved it, changing the late words to more varied German synonyms. When Buber saw the page proofs, he didn't just ask for a few changes. He demanded over 200 corrections. He saw the changes not as editing, but as destruction of the text's hidden meaning. Apparently, Buber and Rosenzweig had to fight to explain that the repetition was the point. How ironic and a little humorous. In our chapter, there is a repeat of the root kun, chaf vav nun, to set in order or to prepare. The Kohanim are to organize themselves, hachinu, in Pasuk 4. In verse 6, they are to ready their brothers, hachinu. In verse 7, the service was set in order, vatikon. In verse 14, twice it says that the Levim prepared the Pesach offerings, hechinu, and there are more. So maybe the repetition of the root kun, to prepare, reflects Yoshiyahu's goal to prepare the people for the impending exile. In verses 4 to 5, Yoshiyahu made arrangements for the Kohenite Mishmarot divisions. In verses 7 to 9, we learn how Yoshiyahu and his officers supplied the people with animals for the Pesach celebration. Malbim notes that there are three groupings. Yoshiyahu himself gave animals to the people as a whole, a group of officers gave to the Kohanim, and the officers of the Levites gave to the Levium. Two groups of animals are mentioned, lambs and cattle. Only sheep and goats are acceptable for the Paschal sacrifice. The cattle were for the Shalmei Chagiga, peace offerings, which are brought in conjunction with the Pesach. They were also for the Olah, burnt offering. Why did Yoshiyahu and his officers donate the animals to the people? Chizkiyahu had done that in chapter 30, but they were for the purpose of celebrating the additional 7 days of rejoicing, which were added onto Pesach. Rabbi Moshe Eisenman, quoting Dat Sofrim, suggests that it's possible Yoshiyahu wanted to make a statement about the monarchy. The Korban Pesach rededicates the people to Hashem and breaks people away from idolatry. Until now, Menashe and Amon, as the kings, had led the people to idolatry. Yoshiyahu was demonstrating a change in attitude of the monarchy. He was now helping the people to Hashem. In verse 10, we read, Vatikona avoda, vayamdu akonim alamdam, vahalaviyim amachlagotam, kemitzvat hamelech. The service was set in order, the priests stood at their posts, and the Levites in their divisions by the king's command. You may remember this language from chapter 29, when we learned about Chizkiyahu's reestablishment of the house order, and how it parallels the words in chapter 8 that describe the completion of Shlomo's building of the Beit HaMikdash. By using the same expression here, Ezra is placing Yoshiyahu within the tradition of the house builders Shlomo and Chizkiyahu. Then, in verses 11 to 13, they slaughtered the Pesach offering. After the Levim had finished roasting the Pesach offerings and cooking the Shalmei Chagiga for the people, they made arrangements for themselves and the Kohanim. Then in verse 15, we learn that the singers, sons of Asaf, performed at Yoshiyahu's Pesach celebration. Normally, all three families, Asaf, Heman, and Yedutun, would participate in the Shira. Also, it's customary to recite Hallel while the Pesach offerings were being brought. So what's this verse referring to? Maybe the music in this verse is special. In honor of the rededication, Yoshiyahu wanted to inspire the people with more than what was normally done. In verses 17 to 19, we are told that the Israelites were present, celebrated the Pesach at that time, and the Feast of Matzot for 7 days, and that it took place in the 18th year of Yoshiyahu's reign. The celebration is assessed as follows. V'lo nasa Pesach kamo b'Yisrael mi'mei Shmuel Navi v'chom achay Yisrael v'lo asu ka-Pesach asher asa Yoshiyahu v'akonim v'alevi'im v'chol Yudah b'Yisrael hanimsa b'yoshvei Yerushalayim. Since the time of the prophet Samuel, no Passover like that one had ever been kept in Israel. None of the kings of Israel had kept a Passover like the one kept by Yoshiyahu and the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel there present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. What made Yoshiyahu's Pesach celebration so unique? There are a few ways of answering this question. Rashi says, and such a Passover sacrifice had not been made ever. It had never happened that the king and the officers should supply enough animals for the Passover sacrifice and cattle for the festive peace offerings. While that was very special, it seems underwhelming considering the significance of the Pasuk. Radak said when the text says that no Passover like that had ever been kept, it means in which all Israel were of one mind to worship Hashem. For even in the context of the Passover that Chizkiyahu made, there were many Israelites who were not there. Not only that, but they mocked the messengers whom Chizkiyahu had sent, as you might recall from chapter 30. Malbim brings the opinion of the Abarbanel and says that in the past there had always been bamot, private altars, even during the reigns of David and Shlomo. But now, during Yoshiyahu's Pesach celebration, the country had been purged of these problematic mizbeachs. 14 years later, in verses 20 to 24, Necho, the king of Egypt, came to wage war at Carchemish on the Euphrates, and Yoshiyahu went out toward him. The king of Egypt sent a message insisting that his campaign was not against Yehuda, but toward his own battlefield at Carchemish, warning the king of Yehuda not to interfere, lest he oppose the divine force accompanying Egypt and bring destruction upon himself. Yoshiyahu refused to heed Paro Necho's warning and did not turn his face from him, but donned armor to wage war with him and did not heed the words of Necho from the mouth of God. And he came to wage war in the valley of Megiddo. The archers shot King Yoshiyahu, and the king said to his servants, "Take me away, remove me from the battlefield, as I am severely wounded." His servants took him from the chariot from which he had been fighting and placed him in the second chariot that he had and brought him to Jerusalem, and Yoshiyahu died. What happened? Until now, the description of Yoshiyahu's reign had been totally positive. Why was he killed and in such a terrible way? We turn to the rabbis for an answer. In Tanit, we learn, Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Mipnei mani anash Yoshiyahu, Mipnei shehayalo limalech b'Yirmiyahu velo nimlach. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani said that Rabbi Yonatan said, for what reason was Yoshiyahu punished? Because he should have consulted with the prophet Yirmiyahu to find out if he should go to war, but he did not consult with him. The background to this is that Paro Necho decided to pass through Yehuda on the way to his war with the Assyrian king. Yoshiyahu thought that the verse in Vayikra, which promises that when Israel walks in God's ways, no army would pass through their lands, even an army that wasn't attacking Israel directly, should not go through the land. Yoshiyahu felt that at this point, the people were following the Torah perfectly and felt justified telling Paro no. But as we learned in the last chapter, Yoshiyahu did not realize that his people were still idol worshippers. Yirmiyahu was aware of the failings of the people and tried to stop Yoshiyahu from making this mistake, but he didn't listen and was killed. Is not listening to Yirmiyahu that big of a mistake? We have been saying that Yoshiyahu's goal was to prepare the people for life beyond the Beit HaMikdash, when there would be no Kohen Gadol and no Urim V'Tumim, which were worn in the breastplate of the priestly garments and served as an oracle to provide divine answers for national decisions. So, listening to the Navi, a prophet, and getting guidance from him would be part of a new way of life. Yoshiyahu's mistake completely undermined his attempt to educate the people. Yoshiyahu was buried in the graves of his fathers. All Judah and Jerusalem mourned Yoshiyahu. Verse 25 informs us, Vayikonen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu, Vayomru kol hasarim v'hasarot b'kinoteyam al Yoshiyahu ad hayom, Vayithnum l'chok al Yisrael, v'hinam k'tuvim al kinot. Yirmiyahu composed laments for Yoshiyahu that all the singers, male and female, recited in their elegies for Yoshiyahu, as is done to this day. They created a firmly established custom in Israel. It is recorded in the Lamentations. According to the Midrash, this refers to the fourth chapter of Eicha. The lament of Yoshiyahu is included in the Megillah because his death is part of the beginning of the exile. Who knows what might have happened if his life had ended differently? The last hope of Yehuda's regeneration has gone. There will only be a decline from now on, and in only 22 years, the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash will occur. This year is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudit Bat Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivat Zion left an indelible mark on her many students.